And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Do you know what time it is? Scripture there says it's high time. It's high time that you awake. That your salvation is nearer than when you believed. The very last verse that Joshua read for us, I love it because it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's exciting as Christians. It's exciting for us as Christians to know that our salvation is getting closer and closer each and every day that we live. And that's one thing we don't have to worry about. It's one thing that we can concentrate on, that hope of heaven, if we will put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem there is not doing it, it's staying true to it. Because what, don't we get comfortable? We all get comfortable in our lives. Can't help but think back today, 15 years ago, about this time in the morning. Those of us that, and most of us are younger people, may not remember. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember where I was at. I remember what I was doing. I remember the emotions that went through my mind. I was like most people when the first plane hit. I thought, what an idiot. Who would fly an airplane? I was thinking it was an accident. And then it wasn't long till the second one hit. Then we knew what was going on. So many innocent lives lost that day. People had a choice to make that was in that building, some of them. Burn or jump. Burn or jump. And several jumped. People's lives was forever changed 15 years ago today. There's people today that's grieving and suffering because of what happened 15 years ago. Children lost their parents. Parents lost their children. So many fought to save lives that day. Lives they didn't even know. And they ran in those buildings to try to get people out. It changed our life. It changed this country. It changed you and it changed me. Because since that day, we somewhere in our mind have fear of what is next. What's going to happen to us next? Although we should not dwell on it, it stays in our minds, and we do have to wonder about that. You know what happened that day was a wake-up call. Somewhat. Because we had gotten comfortable. Thinking that we had been so long that we were possibly untouchable. And a tragedy hit. More people that day united. Call to arms. Ready to fight. We're going to defend her to the death. People were willing to die that day for other people. After that day, songs came out, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?" And put in our minds, even old people like me were ready to say, "Hey, if we've got to go to war, let's go, because I will fight for our flag and defend it." Wake-up calls. A lot of different wake-up calls that we can talk about. When I was in the military, that's one thing that you dreaded every morning. Matter of fact, if you could get up before the drill sergeants would get in the barracks, that was your best option, to be awake, because it was such a rude awakening when they would come in. Throwing things, kicking and screaming, and it was just a bad way to be woke up. You ever go on a trip and you call the front desk? We don't do it near as often now because everybody has cell phones, but you call the front desk and you say, "I need a wake-up call." I used to do that when I traveled. And it would always scare me when the phone would ring, because it would, first of all, the phone was ringing. Second of all, I'd open my eyes, I didn't know where I was at. And it'd take me a second to figure out what was going on, and I'd answer the phone, and they would say, "It's the front desk with your wake-up call." You go to the doctor, having some problems with your health, not feeling well. You fear going to the doctor because you're afraid of what they're going to tell you. But you go to the doctor and he gives you a diagnosis that you're not looking forward to, and you think to yourself, "What am I going to do?" Someone you love gets sick. Someone you love suddenly dies. So many emotions play a part in your mind and in your heart. How do I go on? How do I live? How will I ever feel that spot in my heart? How do we go on? You know, there's a lot of things in this world we don't consider until we get hit with it. I never in my life knew what St. Jude was. I'd heard of it. I knew it was a children's hospital, and I was thankful it was around. But I didn't think about it, and I didn't dwell on it. And now, every month, Wendy and I write a check and send it to St. Jude. Because when something happens to us, it wakes us up to the point that we say, "Hey, I've got to deal with this, and now this is a part of my life." And Wendy and I's lives will never be the same in that aspect. The same way that we're talking about all of our lives this morning, because of what happened on 9/11. Things impact us and forces us to change. A few points I want us to mention this morning when we think about being woke up, having to deal with things in our life, and even looking back today on the tragedy that hit our country. And we don't want to make light of that, no matter what we say or what we do, because it did impact so many people. But, you know, we need to know two things. Number one is, we need to know that it's time. It's time in your life, and it's time in my life, that we understand a few things. And first of all, how we do live in a wicked, wicked world. Dale made mention of that this morning in class. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, so he destroyed it. That's when the flood came. He looked around and he said, "The people that I have created have become so wicked, I'm going to destroy it." Paul urges the Philippians in Philippians 2 and verse 15 to be blameless. He tells them there to be sincere in your life and in your faith. And you do that, he says there in that passage, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Is that not something that we have to take hold of today as well, that where we live and how we live, we are to be blameless. We are to arise above it. Keith prayed a few minutes ago about the evil, and he said the only way that we can fight evil or combat or overcome evil, I forgot his wording, was with one word. And what was it? Good. We've got to be a Christian. We've got to be a people that even though we live in an evil world, that we're going to be good. And Paul turned to Philippians 2 and verse 15. If you did not, he urged them to be blameless. Look at that. And sincere in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He said, shine as lights in the world. What did Jesus tell us to do? He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do you light a candle and put it on a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick, that all may see that light. Well, today is the day to wake up. To wake up and understand how we should be living in this world. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians 5 and verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Why is it that each one of us needs to put this in our hearts and put it in our minds? Because time is running out. Joshua read for us earlier from Romans, starting in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time that you awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Yeah, time slips away. You look around, it's not long till you go to seeing how much older we're getting. Those of you that still have young children, won't be but just a day or two and they'll be going through their senior year in high school. If they go to college, it won't be long, they'll be graduating from college. Just this month, we're celebrating Ella's 4th birthday and J. Crew's 2nd birthday. Don't seem possible. That time just keeps on clicking and clicking and clicking. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. He goes on to say, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. Whatever we do, we need to be set our minds, and we're going to do it with all of our might. Well, it's time to get ready. It's time to get busy. And there's just a few things that I want us to point out when we think about getting ready and getting busy. First of all, to get ready, we have to put off some wicked deeds. Now, stay with me for just a minute. We talked about the wicked and the evil world that we live in. We talked about living as lights and letting our light shine. But folks, there's a way that we have to live. We cannot mix and mingle with that evilness. There are people that do not care about marriage anymore. Just the first thing that comes to my head. They're not concerned about, first of all, it being a man and a woman. They're definitely not concerned about a man and woman being married for a lifetime. They're not worried about faithfulness to a husband and wife. And we could go and we could preach a sermon there. I'm not going to. But because the world says things are okay, we in this building as Christians, we cannot participate and accept those things. The church is being challenged today. Rita's doing the bulletin now. It looks great. She's done a great job. But you read the front page she had there. It talks about the church and it talks about what we believe and what we teach. The challenge to the church today, not only is marriage, divorce, and remarriage, not only is homosexuality, not only is gambling, not only is whatever else we want to name, but it's easing in the church today for women to be leaders in the church today, to be preachers and take part in a leadership role in the church, and it's going to be so hard a few years down the road to fight that battle. But because we're surrounded by evil, we cannot give in to it. Colossians 3:8-9 says, "But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with these deeds." What is he talking about? He's talking about when we, each one of us, when we become Christians, there's a way we are to live. Is living a Christian life hard? It can be. But it's not impossible. But the thing you have to remember about being a Christian is when you become a child of God, you cannot continue to live like you used to live worldly. You have to give up certain things. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Ephesians 6:11-18, Norris read for us last week, talking about the armor of God. Look at verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? That's why I wanted to point out that verse. Why are we to put on the whole armor of God? "That ye may be able to stand against the devil." Well, then finally, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy with living a godly life. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we are supposed to be the salt and the light of this world. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, "You need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, "Do not walk as fools, but as wise." Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, "Walk worthy of the Lord." It's time to get busy living a godly life, but that does not mean to sin. We have to separate ourselves from sin. You know, this morning, freedom is living for God. Free from sin, free from having no hope. The challenge for each one of us to look at ourselves this morning is to look and say, there's a time for me to wake up, and we're there. Wake up to live that godly life. Wake up to live that Christian life. Do not go to sleep and allow the Satan to come in and take over. I love the story that I've used a few times, and it's not original with me, about the little boy that fell out of the bed. The mother asked him the next morning why he fell out of bed. He said, "I went to sleep too close to where I got in." You know, sometimes we have to crawl. Crawl on over to where we're safe. This morning, if you're living a life that's on the edge, you're riding the fence. You want to be a Christian. You want to do good. You want to be right with God. You want to be faithful. But you're just playing with sin. You have something in your life, and you know right now why I'm talking to you. You know there's something that separates you from God. There's that sin, that wedge, that wall between you and God. You got to break through that wall. You got to let go of that sin. It's time to get cleaned up. It's time to clean your life up. It's time to clean your relationship with God up. It's time to prepare for battle. And it's time to live for God. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We really don't. Terrorists. Disasters. Accidents. Sicknesses. The Lord could come. He destroyed it once. Flood. He said, I'm going to come back. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, wickedness. I'm not saying we're there. I'm not saying we're not there. But what I am saying, we don't need to get entangled in our lives with this sin to the point we're not looking around saying, hey, I've got a problem. I can't keep carrying this sin with me throughout my life because one day my life is going to run out. And folks, when we open our eyes on the other side of eternity, it is too late to worry about the sin. It's too late. Because we had opportunity while we were here to allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse that sin and wash it out of our lives. This morning, if you're not a Christian,